This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Control. That means that you can call in at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. You've got me, Bonnie, Jay Noon, and Mark Edge on the show with you tonight, but I'm going to go straight into the phones. We have Turd Ferguson, also in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind, Turd?
Yeah, hey, so I was just, I was watching the feed there. I see Mark Edge is ushering in the white boy summer early with his pretty groovy Hawaiian shirt. I'm really digging it.
He looks really tan and summery and beachy right now, yep.
Yeah, I can't wait to rip out my Hawaiian shirts. But I just wanted to say Spring Breakers is a great movie. Selena Gomez and Vanessa Hudgens were sexy young ladies in their little bikini-clad bodies. James Franco is a great actor. Spring Breakers is one of the best, most artistic movies ever made, and the music in it is great.
It's Harmony Korine, right? People say that he's a good actor, director, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
Can somebody tell me what we're talking about?
He's talking about an old freaking movie from, like, 15 years ago or something, and it's just, like, girls in bikinis. I really don't know if it's a good movie or not, but it's like, oh, what's the point of calling in about this, Turd? Like, it's an old
movie. You like to talk about girls in bikinis. Who doesn't?
It's a great movie.
All right, thank you, Turd. What a terrible call. I mean, I guess people are allowed to call in like that if they want, but it was stupid.
Well, I'm here on the island of Utila in Honduras at the Coral Beach Village Resort, and there were lots of bikini-clad ladies today, and, you know, I like seeing it as much as anybody else.
All right. The other thing that I would like to bring up before getting into the next call is here in New Hampshire on 420, Riley, our co-host, who's in the studio with us, hanging out, listening to the show, he's going to be throwing a 420 rally in the in front of the Concord State House, obviously at 420, on 420. So you should come and participate in what's technically still civil disobedience, unfortunately, in New Hampshire, and partake in some of the stuff that they do on that day, if you know. I don't know what you want to call it. So, Dave Ridley, you're on Free Talk Live. You're from here in New Hampshire with us, too. What's on your mind, Dave Ridley?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about a case where a cop was fired, which is kind of rare, or at least he was maybe a little bit more complicated than that. They were going to terminate him, and I guess there was a negotiated solution, which involved in him not working for the police department anymore. This is an article in InDepthNH.org. It's a Republican state rep, John Stone, who was, it looks like he was fired in the 2006 era, or, you know, again, the quasi-fired, whatever you want to call it. The problem here, I mean, there's all these claims that the police department is making, and everybody's innocent until proven guilty, but the police department internal report accused him of threatening a mass shooting, according to InDepthNH. And what happened was, around that time, they did get rid of him in some form or fashion, but there was a negotiated settlement, which I guess partially involved not releasing some of his records or something like that. And so it took I guess it would have been, there's been Supreme Court, has there been a Supreme Court case over this, people trying to find out what happened, what was going on in his records? It took until this year for the records to be released as to why the police department had a problem with him.
And so do you know what exactly it was that caused him to threaten, allegedly, to do a mass shooting and also to rape people? Like, he threatened to rape, like, one of the other police officers' wives or something like that. Do you remember, or do you happen to know what allegedly
and
made
Cantwell
him say
went
that?
To prison for
I know,
something even less than that.
That just occurred to me. That just occurred to me that that's somewhat like what sent Cantwell to prison. So that's Chris Cantwell. So, Dave, do you know why he said that? Like, what caused him to say that? That's the like, piece of information I haven't figured out yet.
According to In-Depth NH, they were invested, the police department was investigating him. They were claiming he was having an inappropriate relationship with a 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's just a police department claim. He was never convicted of any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not as concerned about what the allegations were, because they're, as far as I'm concerned, they're just allegations. I'm more concerned that it took so long for us to know that the allegations were made.
Yeah, they can say whatever they want in this circumstance, but they're only saying it now, how many years later?
Well, again, it looks like most of this unfolded in 2006. The article is not completely clear. It keeps mentioning 2006 when the investigation was going on in 2006. I don't think the article says he was fired that year. I'm not sure exactly if it was 2006 or maybe shortly after that. But we're supposed to be able to know what our government's doing, both what the police department is doing and what the target of the investigation. If he's a cop, we're supposed to know what they're investigating and what's in his personnel file and stuff like that. It's all supposed to be public record, isn't it?
Well, I think it should be, but for whatever reason, it wasn't up until this year. Like, they just now made it to where you can get all of the disciplinary stuff in a FOIA request. That happened, like, this year. So, I'm not saying, like, oh, that's right. Like, it should have been open and transparent and everything the whole time, according to our own New Hampshire Constitution. But it wasn't until this year. So maybe that's why it's only coming out now.
Could be. But I think he's making a very good point, which is to say that it isn't a government of we the people if we don't have the information. Right? So this guy was a duly elected state representative by a majority of the people who chose to go out and vote in his given district. And would they have chosen to vote him in as a representative had they had this information that was withheld for whatever reason by his police department, his employer?
I didn't realize that he was a representative afterwards, too.
Is that right, Dave?
Well, I got the impression from the article that he is a sitting state rep.
Whoa.
Still
is. So, but I don't think that anyone has answered my question yet. I haven't read really deeply in about any of this, but one thing that I don't think has been answered is what caused him, just the fact that he was getting investigated made him say that? Like, I want to know what happened right before he said that. You see what I'm saying? Like, did somebody go, like go get in his face and say, like, you're going down, and then he did it? Like, is there any rumor about why he said, I'm going to rape your wife and do a mass shooting? Like, that's kind of my question. Like, I don't think just, he was being investigated.
We'll never know, right? Like, we're not allowed to go into the police department and film their interactions with each other. I can tell you, I can name some quotes from the article. Again, these are just officers saying things here. But this is it says, quote, if he gets fired, people are afraid he will go postal.
Well,
then Claremont Detective Jesse Vizina told Casey. Subquote. He makes me nervous as far as after a confrontation with him, he may try to do something to my wife or family, unquote. That's what they're saying. But again, we're hearing it 15 years later.
Yeah.
So it's a little hard to investigate now.
Yep, I mean, that's not right. I feel like these people should have to have, like, multiple cameras on their bodies at all times, even when they're sitting at their desk, and it should be, like, live-streamed.
Well, they could probably put advertising in it and cut the taxes.
That's a good point.
And
what we can see here is that he allegedly did the same thing that Christopher Cantwell did.
Yeah.
And the results are that, you know, some years later, Christopher Cantwell is an ex-convict having served two-something years in prison, mm-hmm. and this guy is a seated state rep. So I'm reasonably certain that there's different tiers of justice for different people.
Well, there's also different classes of people. There's the parasite class, and they protect themselves and each other. And then there's all of us plebs, the people that they call their subjects, who they think of as less than.
Yeah, I like to refer to it as field slaves and house slaves.
Yeah, it's just like that.
Because all the parasite classes, essentially, you know, especially all the, you know, the low-level parasites, which are these house slaves.
Yeah, like the cops. And
so, and you know, the bureaucrat class and the social mm-hmm. workers and just all of the low-level people, they're all trying to get up to this higher-level position. They're all and so they want to keep the system alive. They're putting into a pension fund, and these pension funds are, you know, very, very, in very rough shape. Robert Kiyosaki, who's the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, if you listen to that guy at all, you know, he'll tell you that all the public employee pensions in all these cities and all these places are basically underwater. They don't have near enough money for any of the people.
Well,
and this is also part of that culture is, you know, we need to make sure our pension is good when we retire because that's what they're depending on. So therefore, they're, you know, for example, the social workers in New Hampshire can take a class called Maximizing Revenue for DCYF mm-hmm. because that's how their, you know, that's how their pensions get funded and how they're maintained. And are also maintained by the governmental agency that they work for. Constantly expanding is what makes the pension work, not contracting.
Even it's kind of like an MLM, like having to, like yeah. if you bring more people in and then you get more people making the pension.
Well, it's not like
bigger.
An MLM. That's voluntary. Nobody forces you to part, you know, to buy Tupperware, you know, but it's a Ponzi scheme that is, you know, essentially being financed by men with guns and badges and clipboards, making sure you pay taxes, you know, with all this stuff. And with this whole transparency thing, like what we're what's happening with this this committee to investigate DCYF is there are people who do discovery requests, who do right to know requests, and DCYF just denies them. Hmm. They won't give them anything. The family court denies stuff.
Yep.
Investigators can't get it. State representatives can't get this information. Everything is under seal. And then what they're doing is people who are able to muster up a lawyer and put together a case to bring a claim against the state of New Hampshire, which is the people that are required to pay taxes have to pay that money, bring these huge lawsuits against New Hampshire DCYF, hundreds of millions of dollars in the past decade. One guy told me like $300 million is a more accurate number than $100 million in the past 10 years that has been paid out to settle claims against DCYF. And all those suits, all those claims, all those settlements come with a non-disclosure. So every newspaper article says, whoa, not everyone, but most of them say, we contacted the victims for comment, and they said that they can't comment. They have a non-disclosure they signed. So what they're doing is they're using your taxpayer dollars that you're forced to pay, that if you don't pay, men with guns will come and torture you or kill you if you don't pay it. That's basically the bottom line. And they're using
this show. That's not what the show's about.
But they're using it for hush money.
Yeah.
You know, basically, there's, you know, oh, your children were molested by this guy that we actually was reported as molesting and raping children, and we still let him be in this foster home,
anyway,
and we put
yeah.
your kids there. Here's $10 million.
And it's like people, it really sucks because they're, you know, victims of something and they want some kind of retribution. So, of course, they're going to sign a non-disclosure.
Yeah.
Because it's like you can't get unraped. Like, hate to say it like that. You can't go back in time and change it.
You can't unmolest a kid.
Right. So I guess they're just like, well, I guess the best I can do is get $10 million and then the taxpayers have to pay it. That's absolutely disgusting.
And nothing
terrible.
Gets exposed. Like, all the people involved in this, they're covered by qualified immunity. Literally, the only people, and it's not just guys, But the only people who are staying after detention and getting disciplined are the ones that are being caught red-handed because, you know, because they made child porn and because they were heroin addicts and or whatever and, you know, was selling it on the dark web. Or, you know, you know, and it's mostly those are the ones that are actually getting disciplined as the ones they cannot ignore.
Those people need cameras on them at all times, too. The people who are in charge of taking kids and placing them in different houses, like, that seems like something that needs to be a lot more transparent to the public. But
if we need watchers all the time for the watchers, then we don't need the watchers.
Right. We just don't need them. We need to make them irrelevant. We need to push the legislature to get rid of them. There needs to be a big push here in New Hampshire with the people contacting their state representatives saying, abolish DCYF.
Anything else for us, Dave?
That is all.
Thank you so much for the call. That's Dave of RidleyReport.com. You can go there and find his videos of him actually trying to make the government more transparent by filming them and asking them questions. Interesting news I found on DailyStar.co.uk. Says Mexico's most dangerous drug cartel is using AI to expand its criminal empire. And I really want to know how and why. It says the Jalisco New Generation Cartel. I didn't know they had, like, names like that. Like, we're the Jalisco New Generation Cartel. What? I wonder if it's actually English, like, there, if they say, like, Nuevo Generacion or something. I don't know. The Jalisco New Generation Cartel has been named by Interpol, among other organized crime groups, in a report into how gangs are harnessing AI to expand their illicit operations. It says Mexico's most dangerous drug cartel is thought to be using artificial AI to expand its criminal empire. The Jalisco New Generation Cartel, sorry, it's just repeating the title. So yeah, they're using
AI. It's probably written by AI.
Probably. According to Interpol, we're going to call it the CJNG, the Jalisco New Generation Cartel, and other organized crime groups are pulling off more sophisticated and professional fraud campaigns using AI, large language models, and cryptocurrencies. They've probably been doing the same kind of stuff with cash, too, but anyways.
Yeah, I doubt very seriously that cryptocurrencies have managed to slip by gangs up until now. It seems like, you know, they would have been... somebody who has $100 bills in a room and has a problem with rats eating the $100 bills is probably going to jump on cryptocurrency pretty quick, right?
Like, that happens?
I would guess that. Yeah, there's some stories of, I think it was Pablo Escobar or one of these guys.
Oh, my goodness.
With so much money in a room, the rats were eating it and making bedding out of it.
Oh, no. Kind of funny, honestly.
It's a crazy story. But, of course, they're going to be into cryptocurrency. Sure.
Yeah, they probably already were into cryptocurrency. Says Interpol's Global Financial Fraud Assessment also found that human trafficking is being expanded across the globe for the purpose of forced criminality in call centers. I guess that means, like... It says trafficked people are being used to conduct so-called pig-butchering investment scams with crypto. What does any of this mean?
Well, it sounds like they're calling people up, ring, ring, we've got an investment thing that includes, we've got an investment for you. It includes pig butchering. I don't know. And if you want to be involved, send us some cryptocurrency. And, I mean, you know, if you send cryptocurrency to somebody who rang you up on the phone over a pig butchering scam.
What is that? What's a pig butchering scam?
I don't know. I've never heard of the scam particularly, but I know what pig butchering is.
Well, commercial pig butchering, where you can buy these, you know, garbage-fed hogs at market for, you know, very inexpensive, like cheaper than the cost that, you know, you could feed one in your backyard. You only take the best cuts out of the pig and just throw the rest in a rendering tank to where, you know, 100 years ago, you didn't throw any of the pig away because you didn't have government-subsidized, you know, garbage-fed pigs 100 years ago, and you wanted that fat for cooking. That's the only thing I can think of, you know, when you look at modern-day pig butchering.
I don't know if it's a name that they give it, like, based on something like actual pig butchering, or... Here, this is from justice.gov, so, like, United States Attorney's Office, but it's from Massachusetts. It says, in the spring of 2023... an investigation began into a pig butchering fraud scheme targeting a Massachusetts resident. In a pig butchering scheme, scammers obtain funds from victims using manipulative tactics. The scammer establishes a level of trust with a victim in online communications and then entices the victim into investing in fraudulent cryptocurrency scheme. Often, the victim is enticed to make additional payments before realizing they're the victim of a fraud. The butchering or slaughtering of the victim occurs once the victim's assets are stolen by the criminals, ultimately causing the victim financial and emotional harm. Perpetrators behind pig butchering fraud schemes are often located overseas. I don't understand. Like, how is this different than any other scheme?
Just sounds like a scam, and they've got a particular type of scam, and then they've got a name for it called pig butchering. So it doesn't have anything to do with pigs.
All right.
But it sounds like one of these where it's like, hey, we're the IRS, and you owe us money, but you're going to have to pay in Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
I've always felt like if you fall for that, man.
You deserve it.
That's rough. Somebody should be taking care of you.
Yeah, you should be, like, not in charge of hundreds of thousands of dollars if you're going to fall for, like, sending the IRS Target gift cards or cryptocurrency or something without questioning it at all and just, like, freaking out. Like, you didn't learn how to control your cortisol when you were younger, and now your children should be taking care of you. Says, the report said that there is emerging evidence of the that cartel and other Latin American crime groups such as Brazil's Red Command and First Capital Command moving into the commission of financial fraud. I honestly had no idea they had, like, all these names. The most common types of fraud across the Americas are impersonation, romance, tech support, advanced payment, and telecom frauds.
I've definitely been hit up by people on Telegram multiple times where they'll copy. Like, so I was in Anarchapulco, and there's this guy, Yoshi Pantera, and he's kind of well-known down there, very nice guy. He does a lot of, like, healing ceremonies. And as soon as
his name is Yoshi.
As soon as I get home, next day I'm in Florida, or first day I'm in Florida, I'm at the park with the kids, I get this text message from Yoshi on Telegram.
Hmm.
And then he starts, I'm chatting back and forth with him a little bit. And so what he did is he copied the image, and one way you can tell is it usually won't have a phone number with it, but as soon as somebody starts asking you about Bitcoin, so what I went back through, so I sent another friend, actually Colin, I sent Colin a screenshot to this, and Colin's like, oh, we'll check if there's a phone number. There's no phone number. Then I found the actual real Yoshi's contact who I had talked to before, and I'm like, hey, did you by any chance reach out to me for Bitcoin?
Wow.
He goes, no, do you owe me Bitcoin or something? Do we do some deal? I says, no. So I sent him screenshots. He's like, oh, that's not me. And then we just told everybody in these groups because that's what they do.
The targeted group of people that know Yoshi. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. Have you ever fallen for a scam? I don't think everyone who falls for a scam is stupid. Like, some of these are really creative. We're going to get into how the Mexican cartels are using AI to get better at doing scams. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
U.S. USA News Update. Reactions are still pouring in following the passing of O.J. Simpson. Jeff Michaels, a former Los Angeles TV news reporter who chased Al Cowling's Ford Bronco with Simpson in the back seat during that infamous slow-speed pursuit in 1994. He said the news of Simpson's death is a mixed bag.
As a journalist, someone of mixed emotions, because I really don't want to give the man more celebrity than he already had. It's at the sacrifice of two lives.
Simpson passed away at the age of 76 on Wednesday in Las Vegas. A series of storms swept across the south, northeast of Houston. The Southern Baptist of Texas Disaster Relief Arm said it sent volunteers to help in flood-stricken areas, particularly in Jasper County. The interpreter who worked with Los Angeles Dodgers standout Shohei Ohtani is facing federal charges for bank fraud, accused of embezzling $16 million from him. U.S. Attorney Martin Estrada revealed the charges on Thursday. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay heating pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Is the phone number here, 603-283-6160. And I would like to thank Paul, who is a gold-level amplifier with us. Just has the first name there. So thank you so much, Paul, for being a gold-level amplifier with us. That means that Paul went to the website for the AMPS program, which is amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. And he decided to give us money every month in order to help to advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. And we really appreciate all of our amplifiers who do that. If you feel that we do a good job on this show spreading the ideas of liberty and peace, then maybe you could go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com, and check it out and see if you would want to become an amplifier and join the AMPS program with us. So thank you so much again to Paul. We really appreciate it. With you on the show tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay Noon,
and Mark Edge.
And in the last segment, we were talking about scams, basically. I wanted to know how they're claiming that cartels in Mexico are using AI to what did they say, just expand their criminal empire. I believe it. I mean,
the government's using it, too.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, there's no difference, really, between the only difference between these cartels and governments is some of them got flags.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I think I'd much rather deal with mafia and cartel.
Mm. Now that, like, they're giving them names, well, at least, like, I'm noticing that they're calling them specific names. Like, they were saying the main one this is about is the Jalisco New Generation Cartel. It makes it seem just way more like a government. I feel like maybe the American media avoided calling them by whatever names before, because it's just like, once you give it a name, it's just as official as the United States government. So, moving on, it says that human trafficking-fueled fraud continues to be a growing crime phenomenon. The Interpol, do you guys know what that stands for? I know it's like more than one...
International police,
okay. The Interpol Coordinated Operation, Operation Turquesa V, revealed that hundreds of victims were trafficked out of the region after being lured via messaging apps and social media platforms and coerced to commit fraud, including investment frauds and pig butchering, which is a really dumb name that doesn't really mean much as we looked up. It just means a scam. Basically, somebody gets tricked into sending money and then they don't realize what they're doing until it's too late. Don't know why it's called pig butchering. Well, this is a call-in talk radio show, and you can call 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join the conversation, like Tony here did. Tony, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on Free Talk Live? It's Tony, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. I have a question for all three of you, and I can take the answer off air because I'm a truck driver and might lose you. But the question is, I know how you guys feel about cops. How do you guys feel about game wardens or game rangers or whatever, you know, the wildlife people that, you know, take care of the wildlife, and they're also police officers? They can do both. How do you guys feel about that? I don't think I've ever heard you guys talk about that.
So game wardens,
I'll take it.
Don't know much about them, so go ahead, Mark.
I've had a lot
so
of.
I remember in high school that the game warden or even the Marine Patrol, that my high school teacher described these guys as judge, jury, and executioner, that they could do whatever they wanted if they basically thought that a crime had been committed. And again, I know these, I've met people who do this stuff, and they're very reasonable guys. They come from the same culture that I come from. I get what they do. But anybody who, you know, is described as judge, jury, and executioner by the people whom they serve is probably, is going to have incentives to act badly.
That's breaching due process.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't even know that due process works in their line of work. But nonetheless, that's...
Under the Constitution.
My experience is it set up bad incentives, expect bad behavior.
Hmm.
So what I got to say about these guys, so in New York State, they were called NCON, Environmental Conservative Police. Massachusetts, they are... What did they call them, Massachusetts? They wear all green. They drive like these F-150s.
Rangers or something? Is that the same thing?
Nah, I didn't call them Rangers. Okay. Park Rangers are federal guys. But where I grew up in Massachusetts, they chase us around on our dirt bikes all the time. And they would... I remember some dirt bikes were getting chased, and then and these four-wheelers were coming up in the woods, and I was on horses. There was four or five of us on horses. And... I could see the four-wheeler. I knew that the four-wheeler were the environmental cops. And I think they were called environmental cops, but basically the game warden, same thing. And so we just blocked the trail so the guys on their dirt bikes would get away. And we were like, you need to shut those off. Our horses are scared. And, you know, there was really nothing they could do. Mm. We were on horses. But they were wicked a-holes. In fact, I know about a year ago there was a guy in Massachusetts. He's got like 20 acres. And him and his kids were all riding their dirt bikes on their property. I forget what town this was in. It was somewhere like right in central Mass and around Spencer, Mass. And the environmental cop, the ATV police, they call him, he ended up like arresting the guy, his kids, and seizing all of the ATVs. Tow truck shows up, gets them towed. You know, and these towing companies are just as corrupt as the cops. You know, they all just play ball, you know, to make revenue and to make a living. And It was all on private property, 100% private property. Cops trespass on property. And it took the guy, like, he still, from what I understand, hasn't gotten his motorcycles back. He's still in court. You know, this was a couple of years ago, and it was all on private property. But, yeah, these guys are real authoritarian a-holes.
Hmm.
And I was fishing once in Massachusetts. I've never had a fishing license.
Hmm.
And I'm going to do
Should
this again.
Should not have to.
Right. And so this guy says, oh, I'm from the Department of Fisheries and Game or whatever. And I go, okay, what's your problem? And where's your fishing license? And I don't need a license to fish. He goes, these fish belong to the Department of Fish and Game. I'm like, really? Is there a tag on this fish that says property of Department of Fish and Game?
Because I'm pretty disgusting.
I'm pretty sure the Great Spirit put these fish here, or Mother Earth, or God, or somebody, but not you.
Yeah.
And not your agency.
Wow.
And he's like, oh, well, you know, we stock all these rivers and ponds and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, all of Massachusetts going on about this stuff.
They stock them? Like, they put the fish in?
So, yeah, Department of Fisheries and Wildlife, they have a crew where they go, basically, they raise trout. You know, they do it very, very expensively. It's way cheaper to just buy them from a private trout farm. But, of course, when the, you know, DCR, I believe it's called, Division of Something Resources, I can't remember. But Department of, well, anyways, they... It's a Massachusetts thing, but, like, they're just, yeah, anytime you give somebody this authoritarian power and these special police powers, like, I remember there was a dog officer who told me that she had an open warrant and go on any property in town anytime she felt like it. I said, there's no such thing as an open warrant. Open warrants
are... Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, but that's what she was told in her training, you know, that she can do this stuff.
Well, so
Well, a person who believes that they have an open warrant is certainly likely to act like they have an open warrant, right?
Or just like I have on video, Melissa Coombs, a social worker. In my case, you go on my YouTube channel, Jay Noon. Let's see there. You'll see, I think it says Jay Noon versus DCYF goons or something. But the social worker says, we have a right to interview your children. I have a right to come in your property.
It's crazy.
I have a right to access your... She believes she has a right to do this. And then that's when I asked her if she had an oath to the Constitution, and she all of a sudden didn't know what I was talking about.
That's what we're always talking about cops. And thank you for the call, Tony. He said that he wanted to take the call off the air, so I muted him and dropped him. I didn't want to, like... leave him, like, having to talk for too long because he wanted to go. But I hope that answered his question. Honestly, I don't have an opinion as much as Jay or Mark do on it, but that is exactly what we're always talking about. These people who work for the government in almost any little silly little position, but especially cops, believe that they have rights that you don't have, and that's just absolutely ridiculous. It's just so hilariously dumb on its face to think of joining a group of people can somehow grant you extra rights. That's crazy. You don't have any rights that other people don't have just because you have a badge or you're a game warden or whatever. I assume that they probably things too.
The only premise under which you could believe that police officers of any sort have more rights than a citizen has is the premise that you live in a place where the state rules you. And it's not a government of the people, by the people, for the people any longer. It is now, you know, like the king and his power given by God or whatever. Because citizenry, the people, can only give to the one whom they give the badge, right? Their employee. They can only give them their rights. They can only imbue them with the right to, I don't know, check out their neighborhood to see if anybody is breaking into houses, their right to, you know, incarcerate somebody who's done something bad or whatever the situation might be. But they can't give any extra rights. Like, 100 people don't have the right to take one man's property, and thus a law enforcement officer doesn't have that right either.
What if you as one of the people give irrevocable power of attorney to a state agency like the Registry of Motor Vehicles, because that's what happens every time you fill out a driver's license application.
Massachusetts, at least, you said, right?
It's actually pretty much in every state from what I understand, but yes, Massachusetts is the one place that I've actually found the code that says that. But
well, I wrote all rights reserved on mine.
Good for you.
All right, I felt that I wrote under duress. I don't remember.
Well, I don't know. What is this irrevocable power of attorney, and how would it work? Explain it to me a little more.
Basically, in Massachusetts, it says anyone who applies for a license to operate a motor vehicle gives irrevocable power of attorney to the registrar of motor vehicles. New York State, there was a very similar, anyone who applies for a license for a firearm gives irrevocable power of attorney to, it was like, registrar of health and human services. I can't remember the position.
I'd say that's not a real contract. Like, right. You didn't sign that contract. You didn't sign that knowing what all that meant.
That's correct.
I would say that that's not valid.
There's all these adhesion contracts that are out there, and one of the things that people...
What's adhesion contract exactly?
Adhesion contract means basically one side of the contract is very, very heavily weighed, and it is very only beneficial really for one party. That's a sort of what an adhesion contract is, like a driver's license. Most people get a driver's license because they're afraid that they're going to be, you know, tortured or possibly killed by somebody carrying a badge and a clipboard and a gun for not having a driver's license. You know, so it's an adhesion contract. Same reason people get business permits, all these things. I refer to them as jurisdictional traps. But if you attach an affidavit with it saying that, hey, I'm not waiving any rights, you know, kind of like, you know, a lot of people are doing now in New Hampshire, they're attaching these statements when they go renew their driver's license or apply for a driver's license, an affirmed statement, an affidavit stating that, you know, I'm not a 14th Amendment federal citizen. I am not, you know, taking any benefits from the state. I am only using this, getting this driver's license as a mere convenience so I'm not, you know, murdered or tortured.
Well, hold on. So... any adhesion contract that you might enter into with the government would be, they're going to, you know, act like that you've agreed to it no matter what, right? Like, so.
Yeah, that's the presumption they take. Yep.
Right. So that you've, you know, I mean, whatever the situation is. And the only way that, I mean, and you can withdraw consent any time in, you know, a situation like this, but I don't know that there's much, whether it's true or not, because it certainly seems very true. It doesn't make a difference whether they, you know, have taken the time to do this or not, because it's a completely weighted situation in so much as they take your money, then they tell you how you can drive on the roads that they took your money to build. And, that, you know, whether they give you a driver's license, they make you abide by all the rules or whatever it is. I don't know that there's any way sort of out of it. And
there is a way out of it.
Necessarily. Yeah. What the point even would be to get out of it, because they're still going to act like you got to follow all the rules to be here.
So, so one of the guys that's been explaining this, how to get out of it, is Brandon Joey Williams.
Hmm.
Now, he does a 39-day contract killer course, and he gives it away for free. He calls it the contract killer. He's given all this stuff away for free. He's studying about how to, like, discharge debt, and he's telling people all about that. That I haven't really gotten into. But his website, I'm going to tell it to you, but I'm going to just say, I'm not going to say the F word, because part of his website uses the F word. But his website is onestupidfword.com.
Like with an ER or just the four letters?
Just the four letters.
Okay.
And onestupidfword.com, and he there's a thing in there where you can go down and click on his contract killer course, and he sends you an email every day for, I believe it's 39 days. It's a video. I haven't listened to the course yet because I don't have 45 minutes a day to dedicate to it at the moment, but plus I have some technical issues with email and things like that. But I've talked to several people now who have taken his course, and I've listened to this guy on multiple interviews now. Where I actually heard about him the first time was Curtis Stone, the urban farmer, had him on in a Twitter thing shortly after Anarchapulco.
Spaces.
Twitter space, yep. And guys at Anarchapulco were talking about him. They were pretty excited about what he was doing and the work he's offering. What they really like about it is this guy's giving it away for free. He's claiming that he's going to get his own desk at the Federal Reserve, his own spot or whatever, not desk, but like access to the direct Federal Reserve to essentially somehow create money, which sounds totally crazy to me, but he's like, yeah, this is the way it all works. And he also talks about how, like, the bankers don't follow the law because the bankers don't get anything enforced against them. He talks about how basically law and statutes are all perfect and they're well in line, but they're not being applied correctly. The judges, the prosecutors, the cops, all the politicians are breaking the law, and pretty much everybody's breaking the law, you know, as it goes about, essentially, you know, in their day-to-day things. But they're just choosing to enforce it only on a certain, you know, class of people, as
thing that we talked about yesterday. Well, we didn't talk much about it. I'm trying to pull it up while I'm talking, but I said that I would update the listeners with exactly what the so the news organization that did this is called Sound Investigations. And just yesterday, they broke this story, or maybe it was whatever the 9th was. I don't know, 2 days ago, they broke this story that a CIA officer and former FBI officer boasts that they can put anyone in jail. They set him up. He says, we call it a nudge. And he said that they did what they wanted with Alex Jones. They took his money away. Those are all quotes from this FBI guy. He said the FBI uses embellished news and use fake social media to get people really mad. So I totally believe that they can just set you up for whatever they want. But, like, everybody's quote-unquote breaking the law because it's just there's too many laws for you to possibly follow them all.
And even if you don't break the law, they'll convince a jury that you did.
Right. That's so true.
Watch them do it.
Yep. There are too many laws for you to possibly not break them. And then the judge also said to Ian that, well, you didn't break this law, but I could tell that you were purposely doing it to get around. It's like he was following the law too closely.
Ian read the law, obeyed the law, and they went after him because he did.
Yep.
What in the hell?
Yep.
Yeah, and Ghislaine Maxwell's client list, you know,
still remains.
My wife spent more time. Bonnie spent more time in court fighting a parking ticket than anybody has spent in court fighting charges against, you know, child prostitution, whatever, of this client list of Ghislaine Maxwell, who was, you know, 15 miles north of where I live, you know, hanging out here in New Hampshire.
Yeah, hiding away.
You know, and, you know, it's like, but yeah, it's selective. But Maxwell was someone they could not ignore. There was so much pressure on, you know, to go after her. So, you know, they will eat their own once in a while. But
when it's just too obvious and they have to, and for all we know, like, that's right.
Well,
a fake person.
But where's the client list? That's what I want to know. Who flew on the Lolita Express? Who was there? What's the manifest? Where'd they go?
Also, what were they doing? Because, like, I don't even think that's very clear. What were they doing? Because I don't think that's very clear either. If it was just, Jeffrey Epstein had 18-year-old girlfriends or 17-year-old girlfriends who wanted to be models and agreed to have sex with him for money and apartments, I'm not really angry about that. If it was, there are 11-year-olds being raped on an island, well, I really want to know if that was happening and who was doing it, because that's
It's more
disgusting.
Like 14 and 15-year-olds who, you know, we're like probably, you know, needing help in bad situations, low confidence, low self-esteem, grew up in, you know, poor neighborhoods, had, you know, just, you know, probably fished them right out of Child Protective Services. Who knows?
Yeah, and I mean, that'd be easy. And how do you know that? Like,
well, I'm speculating. I know I'm speculating. Mm. And then, you know, it's a whole blackmail thing. It's like, you know, so they have these rooms set up where they bring politicians to do things with, you know, 14, 15-year-old girls, because they may appear to be looking like they're old enough to, you know, legally consent.
Yep, that happens.
But I'm sure a lot of these politicians know, you know, they're going there to have some fun. Some of them might have shown up there not know what they're going on, been drugged, so they wouldn't make good decisions, and they get them on video. But the result is, you got a whole bunch of these, you know, celebritarians, and I call them celebritards, that, like, Eminem, for example, he endorses Biden. So that what that tells me about Eminem is that there's a video of him somewhere doing something very bad. They have dirt on him. You know, same thing with, you know, P. Diddy. He endorsed Biden. Any celebrity who's endorsing these.
I know people in real life that are dumb enough to actually like Joe Biden.
Well, there are, but when it's someone who's a celebrity and worth millions of dollars, they would be best just not saying anything at all. But I believe that they're pushed and prodded to give these endorsements to people who wouldn't get an endorsement from anybody who's in their right mind.
Well, the other thing, it might just be like that their PR is like, this is what you need to do because this is the most popular one. So just say that. And they're like, okay.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, and even like, you know, Taylor Swift probably, they'd be like, well, the only reason you have your popularity is because we gave it to you. So, you know, this is what you do.
Because Taylor Swift apparently used to be like kind of conservative. Maybe her like PR was like, listen, this isn't popular with the kids nowadays. You need to be leftist. But what were you going to say, Mark?
Yeah, I don't know what happened on the Lolita Express. But here's my guess. If you took, you know, a bunch of American men age 40, 50, 60, and you put them on a plane with a, you know, a lavish bar, and you started passing out drinks and doing all this kind of thing, you know, you wait until everybody's got about three drinks in them, and then you bring out the young ladies who are supposed to dance and mingle and make everybody feel good. Oh, don't forget that there's several bedrooms down the hall. And these men, whomever they might be, that many of them would be willing to go down the hall to some of those bedrooms with those women. And that many more men would not say anything about that having happened. And therefore, you've got a plane full of people that you could hold something over. Mm-hmm. Now, the average American guy, me for instance, if you got something like that you could hold over me, it wouldn't do you much good because I don't have any power.
Yeah.
But if you have that over judges and politicians and captains of industry and, you know, people with great power, then hedge fund managers and any variety of these people, then suddenly you've really got something going. And I'm not saying this was done by the Israeli government in order to control the United States, but I will say that Jeffrey Epstein's last name is Epstein. And
that American, the accusations
though. Of, oh, okay.
Ghislaine was like from France, right?
No, she was from England.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And her father was definitely a spy. Like, and no one argues.
An English spy?
So, I think he worked with the Mossad.
Yeah, Israeli intelligence.
Really? Yep. Well, that's a conspiracy for you.
If you could do this so easily in the United States, you could control the reins of power simply by finding some young ladies who are under the age of 18 and buying some bottles of liquor and chartering a plane. Should do that, right? Like, that is what international espionage is about.
Wow, people's behaviors are just so predictable. It's crazy. 603-283-6160. What do you think about Jeffrey Epstein's dealings with these politicians? Should we know more about what was going on? Free Talk Live coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.